Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. The live video feed is there as well. Plus the Blaze Radio Network. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Boy, Happy New Year. Hopefully you had a great New Year. Hopefully you had a great Christmas. Hopefully you had a great Hanukkah. And you're recharged and ready to go. I'll be honest with you. In all my years, that was the fastest year I've seen. I have no idea why. 2018, I mean, I feel like I just set some goals for 2018. I feel like I just set my calendar on my Outlook, on my computers and my phone yesterday for January 2018. Hope to accomplish this, that, and the other. Now, we had a good year. Professionally, best year we've had. And by we, I mean me. I don't know why people say that. Martin, have you ever done that? You're talking about something that you wanted to do or a job that you're on, and you say, you know, we really don't like that. And you're talking about yourself? Or is that just me?
Nah, that's not just you, man.
I don't know why. We're glad you're here. No, I'm glad you're here. And Martin, did you have a good Christmas, good New Year? The whole deal worked out?
Oh yeah, man. I enjoyed my time with family and friends, and I mean, even though I had to work the holidays, still, I mean, the extra pay is going to come in handy this year.
Well, you had to work because doofuses like me were off, right?
You're not a doofus, man.
Oh, come on. That's not what you said before the show. So, yeah, no, listen, glad to be back and glad to be here with Martin and Ryan and everybody and just getting it done again across the nation. About 200 stations on the weekend. We pumped up the weekday show to 120 through 2018. So if you don't get the Joe Pags Show Monday through Friday, just stop by joepags.com, joepags.com, and click on Find a Station. That'll open up your email app. Let me know where you are. We might have a station there now. We're working on several others, and hopefully we can get things going. We have a new House of Representatives and a new Senate. You know, mostly, though, it's the same people in the House and the same people in the Senate. We're acting as if suddenly we have everybody's brand new. Well, it's not true. You've got a few brand new people. The majority goes to the Democrats in the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi, for some reason, is the Speaker of the House again, which is such a farce. I mean, you've got San Fran Nan, who is now in charge again, and all that promising about we're not going to impeach and all that promising about we're not going to, you know, bog everything down, that was all just election speak. As soon as they got in, that's exactly what the Democrats have promised to do. Impeach, slow things down, become molasses in the gears, investigations like crazy, subpoenas like crazy. You've got crazy like Ocasio-Cortez and Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. You've got a House of Representatives now that the loudest voices don't really represent the people of this country. What's interesting is the media is fawning all over people like Ocasio-Cortez, the completely uneducated, I'm trying to use the right word here, uneducated and ignorant representative out of New York. A rich kid, grew up in Westchester, daddy was an architect or something, pretending like she's like Jenny from the block, she's not. And the things she says are just ignorant. Well, the unemployment rate is really low. Well, that's because people have two jobs. What? If I have two jobs, it doesn't help the unemployment rate. In fact, it hurts the unemployment rate because I've got a job that somebody else could be doing. The unemployment rate actually checks to see how many eligible workers in this country have jobs. Not how many eligible workers have several jobs, because again, it's better for the unemployment number. The unemployment number goes lower if Martin and I both have jobs, not if Martin has both of our jobs. That was just ignorant. She also wanted to turn seats red. I guess she didn't realize that her party is blue. So that was always interesting. The three branches of government, she had no idea. She said the House, the Senate, and the presidency. What? No, those are not the three branches of government. So this is their heir apparent. This is their new face, the new it girl. Although, Ilhan Omar, who is rumored to have married her brother for 8 years for immigration purposes, and then allegedly lied about it in official court documents, saying that she hadn't seen him in several years when there were Facebook posts showing they'd seen each other like earlier that year. She's your new representative, District 5, I believe, out of Minnesota. Yeah, she hates Israel. She said that on Twitter. Twitter didn't think that that was hate speech and just left her account alone. And then you've got the one really pushing to be noticed, Rashida Tlaib. She's from Michigan. I don't know if it's Dearborn or Hamtramck or what it is, but she's from a heavily Muslim area, just like Ilhan Omar is from Minnesota. She took her oath on the Quran, Thomas Jefferson's Quran. Thomas Jefferson, who was skeptical of Islam and, in fact, warned the world about radical Islamic terrorism. She took the oath on his Quran as if he were somehow Muslim. He wasn't. Not by a far stretch. And there was some sort of a gathering either before she was sworn in or after she was sworn in, and she decided to show who she really is. Now, while running for office, she didn't hide her hatred for Israel, didn't hide her anti-Semitism, didn't hide her hatred for President Trump, nor her hatred for traditional American values. But she didn't go as far as she went 2 days ago. And 2 days ago, she decided to show exactly who she is. She was speaking somewhere in front of a crowd of supporters. And this crowd of supporters just could not wait to hear what Rashida had to say. And here it is. Now, Martin, don't get scared, because I do censor this.
Okay.
Don't worry about the dump button. You're going to be okay.
Okay.
But this is what your girl, Rashida Tlaib, had to say in front of a crowd about a conversation she had with her son.
People love you, and you win. Woo! And when your son looks at you and says, "Mama, look, you won," bullies don't win. And I said, "Baby, they don't, because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker."
I'm sorry, we're going to impeach what? Who are we impeaching? I believe she says she's going to impeach the MF-er, talking about the President of the United States. Oh, yes. She's now a representative in the House of Representatives. She told her son, I don't know how old her son is, but he says things like, "Mama, bullies don't win. You won, Mama." So, I'm assuming he's a young person. And she wasn't running against the President of the United States. She didn't beat the president. Nope, she beat nobody. From what I understand, she ran unopposed in Michigan. So I'm not sure that I understand what that conversation even was. It reminded me of the conversation Nancy Pelosi allegedly had with her little grandson, where Nancy Pelosi's grandson was his birthday. He was 3, 4, or 5 years old, and he blew his candles out on the birthday cake. And Nancy Pelosi said, "Grandson, what did you wish for?" He said, "Grandma, I wish I could be a brown person." And she just thought that was so wonderful. So instead of being proud of his heritage, who he was, the American culture, she's proud that he wants to be somebody of a different race or a different ethnicity. That's how dumb it's gotten on the left, but these people keep winning somehow. How San Francisco keeps on voting Nancy Pelosi in, it'll boggle my mind forever. I don't get it. Now, the president did respond to Rashida Tlaib's disgusting outburst as he was asked by Kevin Cork over at Fox News about the comments.
Russia.
Your comment about the freshman congressperson's comments specifically.
I thought her comments were disgraceful. This is a person that I don't know. I assume she's new. I think she dishonored herself, and I think she dishonored her family. Using language like that in front of her son and whoever else was there, I thought that was a great dishonor to her and to her family. I thought it was highly disrespectful to the United States of America. Yes.
Go ahead. That's the appropriate answer. That's the appropriate answer. You don't say that about the President of the United States. And I'll say this until the cows come home. Barack Obama is a cool dude. Like, if you're just standing from afar, you don't talk to him, you're not talking politics. The guy has learned to walk with a certain swagger. When he reads a teleprompter, he's a very good communicator just by the way he pauses with the things he says. Really make you take notice when he's in front of a crowd. I mean, that's learned. That he wasn't born, didn't grow up speaking like that. That was learned. But he's very effective at it. Plus, he sings one hell of a good, Al Green song. That's cool, too. So I never had a personal hatred for the guy. Not even really a personal dislike. His policies sucked. He's a racist. He divided us on lines of race. And if you want to talk about impeachment, I can give you probably four or five different things he did that were legitimately impeachable. Although I never pushed for impeachment of Barack Obama. I wanted him to be voted out. And it didn't happen in 2012 because you had, lame-ass Mitt Romney. But when you're a newly elected representative in the House of Representatives, remember when the one guy from South Carolina yelled, "You lie!" when Obama was talking about how Obamacare wasn't going to give insurance to illegals? That was a lie. But when that guy yelled that out during the State of the Union, he was excoriated, man. He was treated like absolute crap. The media flipped out. The word racist was used a lot when it came to that guy. Joe somebody, I can't remember his last name. All he did was say, "You lie." He didn't even say you're a liar. He didn't even call him a name. He just said, "You lie." And got in big trouble. Big trouble. Had to apologize, this, that, and the other. Wasn't appropriate for a representative from the House of Representatives to lash out at the president like that. This idiot, Tlaib, calls the president one of the most vile things you can say in the English language. I don't know that there are that many worse things in the English language than MF. I think if you're a woman and somebody calls you the C word, I think that's worse. But this is on par, or close anyway. And the people cheered. The people loved it. They couldn't get enough. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful. It's beneath what she is supposed to be, a representative of her district. It's beneath what should be said in the House of Representatives. And anybody who took any sort of glee from her saying that should check yourself. It was the top trending thing on Twitter all day. We didn't hear about the great economic numbers. We didn't hear about the great jobs numbers. What we heard was impeach the MF. That's who we want to be in America? That's what this far left wing of the Democrat Party wants? Well, I'm here to say the rest of us don't. I'm here to say it was beneath that office. Oh, by the way, if you're confused about who this woman is, in her office, on the global map of the world, she put a post-it note or something over Israel and wrote the word Palestine. That's who she is. Hates Israel. Hates Jews. Hates our best friend in the Middle East. Hates our president. Hates our value system. Congratulations, Michigan. You brought in a real winner. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. We're coming right back. Great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. Great radio stations all over. JoePags.com. It's your boy Joe Pags. Back in the South. I took too much time off. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I took too much time off. I don't normally take that much. Christmas happened to be on a Tuesday. It was Tuesday, right? It was Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday, I think. And New Year's was on a Tuesday, so those days were off anyway. And it just turned into like a week and a half vacation or some crap. I don't do that. That's hard for me to be off that much. I was like, I got to go talk to, I would go sit in my house. Martin, I go sit in my living room and I just have a talk show by myself. And caller, you say what? And no, the callers would never say anything. It's the weirdest thing. So I don't know, man. I'm not used to having that much time off. I probably will never do that again. The last time I had that much time off was when I went to China almost 8 years ago, almost exactly 8 years ago now, and got my daughter Gia. So, yeah, man, I'm just not used to it. So I probably won't do that again. It's 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Because of this turnover of the House of Representatives, I actually was going to do a Pags parody on what she said, impeach the MF. I was gonna do a parody on that. But then a friend of mine made it very clear that it wasn't funny what she did. So making something funny or light out of it probably would be inappropriate. So I thought I would do sort of a parody that's an overview. And Martin, this is the first parody of the year. Don't be judgy, okay?
I won't.
I'm going to start on a low rung. I'm going to start on a lower level so that I can always work to get better during the year. Without a doubt, this is the best Pags parody of the year so far. A little something I like to call House of the Rising Dumb. See what I did? House of the Rising Dumb instead of Sun. Sorry. And again, it's not great, but I think it's appropriate with this new House of Representatives coming in. Let's go.
There is a house on Capitol Hill.
You're welcome.
Now led by San Fran Nancy.
I don't get it.
So many voted for these strange folks.
Take it down.
I guess it made them feel fancy.
Get it, Nancy and fancy? You think of a better word to rhyme with Nancy. It wasn't easy. Nancy? Clancy? Tom Clancy could do maybe that.
Elon Omar said to marry her, bro. Then there's nut job Ocasio.
You know it.
Can't leave out Rashida Tlaib. Language so bad she had to be bleeped.
She did that. It'll bleep her out. Disgusting. The hell does she think she is? What kind of a son is she going to raise? And that's how she has a conversation with him about the president of the United States.
Now they say they'll increase regulations, promising a new Green Deal. Don't bother asking them what that means. Lack of knowledge would then be revealed.
Lack of knowledge. It's a nice way of saying they're really not very smart. You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Stop saying impeach for the campaign run.
They stop saying it.
It's back now that they've won. They lie when they move their lips this bunch. What they say proves that they're out to lunch. It'll be...
There you go. Got to hit a break. You can hear the rest of that on my website. Keep it here on the weekend. All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. A lot going on. I didn't get to give them the last line in the Pags parody, and I don't have it posted on my website yet. So let me just see if I can give the last line or two of this parody because, it's kind of boring. I hear you. You know, during the break, Martin's like, dude, can you raise your game? I'm like, all right, you know, I'll do the best I can. I'm like, where's your parody, Martin? And he's like, well, I don't do parodies. So, here's the finish of it. The big finish of House of the Rising Dumb. Bring it home now.
It'll be an interesting next 2 years. They'll keep their feet on the gas.
Uh-oh.
Every day they'll prove they are nuts. I invite them to kiss my ass.
See, I could not let the people hear that line. That's the best line of the whole damn song. Pags parody, House of the Rising Dumb. We'll get that posted after the program today. We appreciate you stopping by. Lots of people calling in. If you want to be heard on the new House of Representatives, if you want to be heard on the Pags parody and how you never want to hear them anymore in 2019, that's too bad. I'm still going to do them. If you want to be heard on what's going on in Washington and the attack on the president, and by the way, the economic numbers were amazing yesterday, and the big the legacy media didn't talk about it much because it makes the president look good. It means that he's actually doing what he said he would do. Let me go to the phone line, say hello and welcome to Sam, who is in Rhode Island. Sam, hi, Happy New Year.
Good morning, Radio Free New England.
All right, yay.
Hey, the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Right.
I've been studying some of the founders, and I have a quote I'd like to give you from Benjamin Rush, who was one of the signers of the Declaration and the Constitution.
Sure.
The licentiousness of the press is a fruitful source of the corruption of morals. Men are deterred from injuring each other chiefly by the fear of detection or punishment. Now, both of these are removed by the usual secrecy, that is, the use of anonymous and unnamed sources of a licentious press. But further, the cause of liberty is greatly injured by personal publications which are not true. For who will believe a truth that is told of a bad man who has been accustomed to read falsehoods published every day of a good man, and the printers who vent securely would do well in considering that the publisher of scandal, in the same manner as the receiver of stolen goods, is as bad as the thief.
You know, they saw this coming even that far back in the past, huh?
240 years ago, the nature of mankind is fixed and unchanging.
Well, Sam, I appreciate you bringing that forward. I think a lot more people need to go back to the founding fathers and to see exactly what they were warning us about, because we're seeing now come to fruition what they thought could happen if we weren't careful. I appreciate you out of Rhode Island. Let me go back to it at 1-800-501-7080. It's going to be Charlie in Maryland. Hi, Charlie. What's going on?
Hey, thanks, Joe, for taking my call.
You bet.
I really appreciate your parody and everything.
Thanks.
And with Nancy being Speaker of the House and the impeachment that's pending, I think the president would be really, really smart by just publicly stating he's going to fire Mueller and his whole team, and he has 36 hours to produce all the evidence before him, and then he's going to charge him with obstruction when they wipe clean the two phones off of Page and Strzok, and see what the media
Who said that they're going to do that, or you think they should do that?
I think he should do it. He likes to poke them in the eye, and that our next 2 years of news would be absolutely hilarious.
Well, I think without a doubt, the president has to go on the offensive when it comes to Mueller. He hasn't fired him, which he shouldn't. I think that would just, optically, that would look bad. Mueller has obviously, after two full years, found nothing. And he's not going to find anything. And in fact, he was manipulated by James Comey. And Mueller should come out and say, listen, I was manipulated to start a special counsel, and this investigation doesn't have anything to do with Russia. This investigation has nothing to do with obstruction of justice. He should, to save face, he should come out and just lay all the cards on the table now. But the president, I think, does need to go on the offense, because the House of Representatives now in the hands of Nancy Pelosi, they're going to investigate. I've heard the number of 78 investigations already planned. 78, like on day one. And then this idiot from Michigan talking about impeaching the president. So he has to go on the offensive. I think that he's laid back a bit and he's taken some good advice. And by going on the offensive, I don't mean go beyond, you know, the line of where he should be as the president. But he's the boss. The idea that there are articles of impeachment even being talked about because he fired James Comey, a guy that answers directly to the chief executive, is ridiculous. So I think that he should go on the offensive, Charlie, without a doubt. Who knows if he'll do what you're saying, but something should be done.
Absolutely. I like what he's doing so far, and I think he could do a whole lot more, because he's brought the Democrats to the front and tell us exactly what they want, which they never did before.
I got you. Charlie, I hear you, and I appreciate you. It's very well thought out. I wonder what people think the president should do when it comes to this. You got Rashida Tlaib, who's a potty mouth, disgusting, vile, vulgar person, saying to her little boy, to her son, who said, "Mama, the bully didn't win." And then she's going to impeach the MF. When you've got that person, when you've got Ocasio-Cortez, doesn't know anything from anything. When you've got Ilhan Omar, who is a person said to have married her own brother, then lied about it. When you've got Keith Ellison, who is now the Attorney General of Minnesota, you've got a loud, very small minority of people who are running things, but they're very loud, who are going to keep on pushing impeachment. The president shouldn't go off the rails, shouldn't respond in kind to impeach the MF, shouldn't do that. But he, without a doubt, is well within his rights as the boss, the head of the executive, to hire and fire cabinet as he wants, hire and fire people in the DOJ. The DOJ answers to the chief executive, to the executive branch. He should do those things and be unafraid about it. And at some point, he's got to go on the offensive with Mueller and force that investigation to be over now. You can't just do an investigation to help out the left when it comes to the 2020 election. That's exactly what this is starting to turn into. This is a taxpayer-funded election arm of the left at this point. Do your investigation. Yes, there was collusion. No, there wasn't. Then go home. But he's not doing that. There's a reason he's not doing that. It's 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Let me go to Benji in Washington. Benji, what's going on? Hi.
Hi. Hey, Mr. Trump needs to stand his ground. This is what we voted him. The border security. He needs to stand his ground. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm listening. Go ahead. He stand his ground.
Yeah.
How so? What would you have him do, Benji?
Angie.
I'm sorry, right, Angie. It says Benji on the line. I apologize. All right, Angie, tell me. What does stand his ground look like?
Not cave, for one. Two, he needs to find any other way to fund this border wall. Like, you know, I've heard of alternatives. He needs to explore those other funding, and that's why we collectively kind of hired him. Know what I mean?
I hear you, Angie, and I appreciate you. Without a doubt, he needs to stand his ground. And I was asking not to be a smartass. I was asking, what specific ideas do you have? And I'm always open to that. I'm always open to discussing how specifically you do it. There was an opportunity to fund the wall, and the Republicans screwed up. I mean, we can go back through history and talk about exactly what the Republicans promised. Okay, let's do that. Give us the House, and we'll stop Obama's agenda. That didn't happen. We gave him the House 2010. It didn't happen. Give us the Senate, and we'll stop Obama's agenda. We gave him the Senate in 2014. They didn't stop Obama. He still did whatever he wanted as the chief executive. I've got a pen and a cell phone. He's just going to circumvent Congress, and he did it several times. Give us the presidency along with the House and the Senate, and we'll do everything you want. And we did that. They had the House in 2010, took over in 2011. Gave him the Senate in 2014, took over in 2015. Gave him the presidency in 2016, took over in 2017. And you had all three branches. Because the president then is putting judges on the bench that we wanted him to put on the bench. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh. All these federal judge openings were being filled with conservatives and people leaning right and believing in traditional American values. We gave them what they asked us for. And they still failed. Did not repeal Obamacare. John McCain stopped Obamacare from being repealed. John McCain, rest his soul, who ran for re-election in Arizona promising to repeal Obamacare. He didn't do it because he didn't like President Trump. That's why. Now, there should have been overwhelming votes to stop Obamacare. But because the majority was so slim, 51 to 49, John McCain says no. And that killed it. So it was a lie, give us the House, we'll stop him. It was a lie, give us the Senate, we'll stop him. It was a lie, give us the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and we'll stop him. It didn't happen. They didn't stop Obama's agenda. They haven't gotten rid of the deep state, have not gotten rid of the swamp. the swamp monsters still live, and the legacy politicians who are dug in, they're not leaving unless they're forced to leave. They aren't giving us what they promised. Now, we have been able to get rid of the individual mandate in Obamacare in a very smart move, which basically gets rid of Obamacare. Recently, a court decided that it's unconstitutional now, as argued by the Attorney General's office in Texas. It's unconstitutional. Without the individual mandate, it's not a tax, and the way that John Roberts rewrote Obamacare actually killed it. Killed it. If there is no taxation, it's not constitutional. And remember, Obama, when he shoved this down our throat, said it wasn't a tax, it was a fee or something. Having said all of that, when it comes to the wall, and you say, I want him to stand his ground, how do you do that? You could have gotten the wall built, according to Ted Cruz on this show, or my Monday through Friday show, oddly named the Joe Pags Show. Ted Cruz said, we could have done this through reconciliation. I told my Republican friends, I told them we should do this. Mitch McConnell didn't take it up. Do it through reconciliation. You only need a simple majority. Now you need a supermajority. You need 60 votes in the Senate to pass it, which isn't going to happen. Even with 52 or 53 senators on the right, you're not going to get to 60. Now, if the left wanted to do this, they would have figured out a way. Remember how Obamacare got passed? Nebraska said no. They gave him the Cornhusker kickback. Louisiana said no, gave her the Louisiana Purchase. Just gave them money and Medicaid and more federal funds just to get them to vote yes. Remember Bart Stupak in Michigan? He's a pro-life guy. He didn't want to say yes to anything that would fund abortion. Obama lied, signed some executive order, and said, we're not going to fund abortion in Obamacare. Which, of course, they fund abortion in Obamacare. That was a lie. But he got the votes he needed. Whatever he had to do, he shoved it down our throats. In the dark of night, I think it was Christmas Eve, this thing passed. Plus, it was started in the Senate, where any bill that has money attached to it has to start in the House. But they did that backwards somehow, too, and then retroactively pretended it came from the House. They did everything they had to do, because the Democrats will circle the wagons. The liberals will circle the wagons. That's what they'll do. And to their credit, I'm not cutting them down. It's a smart thing to do. If you believe in something, and you're on one side of the political aisle, and you're trying to get an agenda done, what you do is you support the people who are on your same side. McCain, because of pride, said no to getting rid of Obamacare just to show Trump that he was in charge, not Trump. You think about that. Really think about how easily they should have been able to do anything they wanted at least for 2 years. And they didn't do it because they wanted to play nicey-nice. And, how's Collins going to vote this time? And Murkowski? And which way are they going to lay? Jeff Flake, really? Somebody talk to him on an elevator. He can't possibly support the president. It's ridiculous. The Democrats all said, screw you. We're going to circle the wagons. I don't love Nancy Pelosi, says Ocasio-Cortez, but I'm going to vote for her. You think about that. That's why we're here. So when you say, I want him to stand his ground, how does that look? How do you do it? There are legitimate means through which you have to fund things like the wall. How do you do it? It's 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay right here. All right, glad to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. On this program, we will have plenty of great interviews for you. We'll have Cabot Phillips from campusreform.org, some nuttiness on campus. We had a great year with them last year. My Monday through Friday show, every Thursday we do a special campus reform report, and make sure you tune into that and check it out every week. We're going to talk about some just absolutely nutty stories from campus. And Cabot goes out once a week, twice a month, something like that, and does these man-on-the-street stuff, things, these reports where he just asks simple questions of college students across the land. And the responses tell you how disgustingly indoctrinating our college and university systems are. So we've got him on. We're also going to have Thomas DeLauer. Thomas is a keto and fitness star. And we talk about starting the year right, how to get in shape, how to do it right. What is keto about? What is intermittent fasting? So we'll go off the beaten path from politics and stuff for an angst for a minute to talk about your waistline in this new year. Kayleigh McEnany from the GOP, we talk about the attacks by the left. We talk about Mitt Romney coming out and doing another attack on President Trump, which was crazy. And Sheriff Mark Lamb from Pinal County, Arizona. He's got this unbelievable situation going on in his jail where they do this show 60 days in. And with 60 days in, what they do is they put regular people who didn't commit any crimes in the county jail to do investigations for them, find out where the drugs are coming from, find out if they're running the jail the right way. And it gets very sketchy. We talk about that and much more. Make sure you stick around for the rest of the weekend with Joe Pags. So we go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to, give me line one, Grand Rapids. Larry, what's going on?
Yes, Joe, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Through to you one other time. I appreciate the call today.
Cool, man.
And I just wanted to say regarding the wall, that will save lives on both sides of the wall. If there's a lot of people dying in Mexico, I mean, it'll probably save as many lives on either side and force them to go through the proper way. And regarding what to do, I just pray that if Trump has to, have the military build the wall and just get the wall done.
Well, the military doesn't know how to build the wall. That's the problem. The military is trained to go and win wars. They're not trained to build things. And that would Hold on a second, Larry. I think that would be a misuse of our military members. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers, they could come up with a plan to build the wall, but then you would have to pay somebody to go in there and build it. At the end of the day, the funding has to be available. The Republicans could have done this through reconciliation, and they screwed it up. Now, I do believe that the wall will get built. I don't know how creative he's going to get and where he's going to get the money. And then you'll hear the argument, well, I thought Mexico was going to pay for the wall. Well, yes, through trade differences, through the new NAFTA, the USMCA, you will get Mexico because the difference in our imports and exports will be so much that the wall will be paid for that way. But I don't know where he gets the money right now. It has to be somehow earmarked in a spending bill from the House. And now you got Nancy Pelosi running the House. Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of us that would like to help pay for the wall. If that's what it takes for the citizens to pay for it, then I would love to do it. I would love to help.
Larry, I hear you and I appreciate you. Again, I don't know how we do that. I'm not a naysayer. I'm just somebody who's trying to use common sense and logic. Even if we were to GoFundMe, raise $5 billion or whatever the hell is going to be needed, I still don't see how you get it built because you still have to have the government come in and use that money and build it. You can't just give it to private industry and say, okay, general contractor, go build a wall on the border, because there are all sorts of easements and rules and regulations and people's land that you'd have to deal with, whereas the government can go in there and do that. So he's got to dig in, and he has dug in. The Republicans need to circle the wagons. 800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Stay here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. Glad to have you along for the ride. The Weekend with Joe Pags. While you're at the website, make sure you stop by and sign up for the email updates. If you haven't gone to my website before, it'll pop up and offer you an opportunity to sign up for that. I sent out an email today what the topics would be, what time you could hear it, where you could watch it, and everything else. So go and check that out. And also, the Monday through Friday show, the Joe Pags Show, growing by leaps and bounds, 120 stations now, and we continue to grow, and we appreciate your support. If I'm not on where you get me on the weekend, let the stations in the area know that you want to hear the show and that you definitely would like to have Joe Pags 6 days a week. Would that be kind of a pain, though? Martin, is 6 days a week too much? Maybe it's too much for some people.
No, I don't think so, Joe.
You can say that. You only get me 1 day a week. That's why you can say that, though.
No, I don't think so.
You don't have to deal with me all week. It is 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. Mitt Romney. Oh, yeah, I put it out there. Mitt Romney, is he from Michigan? Is he from Massachusetts? Is he from Utah? Mitt Romney seems to be from everywhere he needs to be from depending on the job or the campaign he's running. Mitt Romney is a strange dude. Good-looking man. Seems like he's nice enough. Seems to have a nice, solid family. Was the governor of Massachusetts and put in socialized health care, which Obamacare was based on. Now, people get confused about this, and I'll educate you a little bit. Romney Care was legal because it was done by the state. The Constitution very specifically says everything covered here is in the purview and is the responsibility of the federal government. Whatever isn't mentioned here, the 10th Amendment goes on, is left to the states. It's called federalism. And people get confused by that term now. It's not federal. Yes, it is. Federalism actually means states' rights. So health care is not in the Constitution. No, it's nowhere in there. It's not. Just like abortion isn't. Just like marriage isn't. Those issues should be left to the states. So if a state wants to and the voters decide to elect a candidate that's going to do socialized health care for an individual state, it is legal. Constitution says, we don't talk about it here. You guys do whatever the hell you want to do. So basing Obamacare on Romney Care was always a ruse. They try to say, well, a Republican governor is the one who started this. No, he didn't. He did something for his state. And if the people in that state wanted it and they elected a guy who did it, then it's on them. That does not mean now the federal government can do the same thing Massachusetts did, because that is unconstitutional. That's actually very simple. You don't have to be a scholar to know that. It's just true. But Mitt Romney ran for president in 2012. Mitt Romney gladly took a hefty donation from Donald Trump, the support and endorsement of Donald Trump. They did a press conference or some sort of a speech together. And all things were great. Mitt Romney was smoking Barack Obama, the then president, after the first debate. Smoked him. Made him look foolish. Had him on his heels. Even Obama admitted, yeah, I didn't do very well. The next debate, kind of even. The third debate, he got candy crullied and basically handed Obama a re-election. Mitt Romney, turns out, was not a good enough candidate. And in fact, before the election even happened, he ended up supporting Obama on something. I don't even remember what it was. Even if you support the guy, you don't want to give him support before an election where you're trying to take his job. Best to just shut your face. So Romney loses in 2012. In 2016, he sees that it looks like Trump, and it might have been the end of 2015, but I think it was the beginning of 2016, he sees that Trump is doing very well, decides to do just a speech. It could have been called the I Hate Trump speech. It's on and on and on about how horrible the guy is, and he's no good, and he's not the man, and he shouldn't get it done, and it is ridiculous and horrible and disgusting, and how dare you ever. To which Trump says, but you took my money. You took my endorsement. I was your friend when you needed me. And now I'm no good? Okay, gotcha. Trump gets elected, becomes the president, and has a meeting with Romney where they have dinner together. There's a famous picture. They're smiling and eating, and it's great. Romney, one thinks, was vying for the job of Secretary of State. President Trump doesn't hire him for that. Still, there's not a whole lot of animosity, not a whole lot of acrimony, not publicly anyway. And Romney decides he's going to run for senator out of Utah. He does. The president tweets out, at Mitt Romney has announced he's running for the Senate from the wonderful state of Utah. He will make a great senator and worthy successor to Orrin Hatch and has my full support and endorsement. It's on February 19th, 2018. Half an hour later, Romney sends out, thank you, Mr. President, for the support. I hope that over the course of the campaign, I also earned the support and endorsement of the people of Utah. Oddly, Romney did not rebuke or refute the support of the president. I mean, whatever is expedient for Mitt Romney is what Mitt Romney does. I'm reminded that he was pro-choice until he was pro-life. Kind of like Obama, who was a believer in traditional marriage between a man and a woman to get elected than he believed in gay marriage. Very interesting. Now Romney, you know, has the gall after getting elected. And yes, it could have been a tighter race in Utah. Yes, he had a challenge. And yes, I think that President Trump's support does help you win. He gets the win, then decides to just go nuts again. It's so bad that his niece, Ronna Romney McDaniel, who is the head of the GOP, has refuted her own uncle when it comes to what he did this week. So I wonder what you think. Why is Mitt Romney doing this? What is he achieving? Many said, well, he's probably going to run for president in 2020 and challenge the president. Well, he said, I'm not running for president in 2020. So that's not it. Is this Mitt Romney saying I'm going to side with Nancy Pelosi and the liberal members of the House of Representatives? I'm going to side with the Bernie Sanders and the other Democrats, Dick Durbin, in the Senate? What is he saying? I'm going to be Jeff Flake. I'm going to be John McCain. I'm going to try to stop the Trump agenda. What exactly is the deal? He doesn't make that clear, other than he's just a big fat baby who wants to attack the president again. Very, very strange to me. So your thoughts on that? 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Obviously, we'll continue taking calls on the other stuff that we talked about last hour, including the wall, including the new Democrats coming in, including the ridiculous thing that Rashida Tlaib said, who should be launched from the House. By the way, the leader, the speaker, Pelosi, was asked about the disgusting, vile comments of Rashida Tlaib, and Pelosi's answer was, it's not my job to be a censor. That's the kind of leader she's going to be. She's going to roll over for these younger, louder, more radical Democrats. That's who Pelosi's going to be. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello to line two. It's Pat in Alaska. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. And thank you so much for being on Saturdays.
I appreciate you, man. What's happening?
We appreciate you even more. You know, Joe, I was just wondering if we even really need to physically build a wall, or if the government would just cut off all the freebies that the people that come into our country illegally get handed to them. And cut all that off, they wouldn't have anything up here to come to, and they'd turn around and go home.
Well, I think that you make a great point. I say definitely turn the magnets off, turn the entitlements off. Nobody who breaks the law coming here should be getting any sort of a freebie. And that means no public school for your kids either. That means no free lunch. That means nothing will be available for you here if the first thing you do is break the law. But having said that, here's something that you might not have thought about. Let's say that that stops everybody coming here just for economic reasons or for job reasons or because we feel like it. That stops them. What's going to stop those coming from the Middle East, those who want to bring radical jihad here? What's going to stop those from China who want to bring communism here? Because you're getting a lot of other than Mexicans coming across the border. You're getting a lot of other than Latinos coming across the border. How do you stop them without a barrier?
By enforcing the laws even more stricter than we have now.
No.
This is a national security issue.
This is about
America staying America and American people being able to live safely in their own country. We got places in our own country that we can't even go into, and that's not acceptable if we're supposed to be America and the land of the free.
Yeah, I thought about that. If you're talking about the no-go zones, and you probably are, they should not exist. Now, people will claim they don't exist, but they do. And they shouldn't. We should actually, you know, by a show of force, not use force, but by a show of force, go into these communities and say, this is the United States of America. There will not be a partial or a portion or a parcel of a community where the police can't feel safe to go into, where other Americans can't feel safe to go into. That's not okay. We shouldn't be blinded to the fact that people are trying to set up very un-American communities, anti-constitutional communities, and telling us to stay out. So I'm with you on that.
I agree 100%, Joe.
All right, brother, we appreciate you in Alaska. We love being on in Fairbanks and in Anchorage Monday through Friday, and obviously we're on the weekend as well. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Coming right back. That's my jam.
Feels good.
Sorry. Come on, Martin, I nailed it.
Yeah, you did.
All right, great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. Thanks a lot for stopping by. We've got a lot going on, lots of great interviews coming up. We will have the sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona, Mark Lamb, on 60 Days In. We'll talk to him. We also have Kayleigh McEnany from the GOP. Talked to her earlier in the week before Tlaib went nuts and did the MF stuff. But we talk about Mitt Romney. We talk about the wall. We talk about the shutdown. We talk about all of that. And Nancy Pelosi taking over. The talk of impeachment, we'll have her at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around for that. So that's about 10 minutes from now. We've got a lot going on, though. A lot going on. Mitt Romney, I don't understand it. I don't. And what's interesting is the legacy media will not question him about it. They like it. They won't say, why are you flip-flopping? Why'd you say this? Why'd you say that? Why'd you say the other? Why'd you say this thing? They won't, why would they question it? Because then it would shoot holes into whatever it is. Whatever it is that that caused him to do this flipping and flopping. Remember they called him a flip-flopper because of abortion when he ran against Obama. Legacy media had no problem attacking Romney while he was trying to get Obama's job. Now that he's going after the guy they hate, they're going to shut up and just report it. That's interesting. What the legacy media won't report is the great economic numbers. This is from CNS News, written by Susan Jones. 156,945,000. 2018 ends with record employment. Participation rate hits Trump-era high. Let that sink in. That's how good the economy is. That's how good the job prospects are. That's really happening. And you're not hearing about it much from the legacy media. In fact, they led this story by saying the unemployment rate went up. That's what they thought the story was. Or that's what they wanted you to believe the story was. Here's the actual story. Amid concerns about trade with China and roller coaster stock markets, the final employment report of 2018 counts as good news. The Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics said on Friday, the economy added an impressive 312,000 jobs in December, which was a month of strong retail sales, and the nation's unemployment rate increased 0.2 to 3.9%, which is still an 18-year low. The number of unemployed or the number of employed Americans has now set a 14th record under Trump. When Trump became president in January 2017, 152,076,000 Americans were employed. Last month, that number grew to a record 156,945,000, a gain of almost 5 million people working in 2 years. Let that sink in. Legacy media doesn't want you to know that almost 5 million Americans or 5 million more people are working in America now, legally. This doesn't have anything to do with illegal immigration because of Trump and his economic moves. At the same time, the number of unemployed Americans increased by 276,000 last month, 6,294,000, as more people were actively looking for work but hadn't found a job. Why is it a good news story that 276,000 more people are unemployed? The way the unemployment number is calculated is you take the number of eligible Americans, I think between 16 years old, and I forget the high end, it might be 65, could be 70. You take the number of eligible people who are of employment age in this country, and you take out of that equation the number of people out of the workforce, which is they're not actively looking for jobs, they're not getting unemployment right now, they're just out, they are just off on the sidelines watching. That number grew so high during Obama that his unemployment rate looked artificially low because we weren't counting everybody involved. Under Trump, some of those people, a lot of them, are now actually looking for jobs, whereas they weren't. And once you're actively looking for jobs and you're now engaged again, you're counted in the unemployment number. So that's what that line is actually a good number. At the same time, the number of unemployed Americans increased by 276,000 last month to 6,294,000 as more people were actively looking for work but hadn't yet found a job. And by the way, they will, because there are a lot of jobs out there. And another positive sign, the labor force participation rate increased 0.2 of a point to 63.1%, the highest it's been since Trump took office. Again, same thing about people being counted in the unemployment number, whereas they weren't before. They're now in the labor force again. They're now trying to find work again. the workforce, the labor force participation number is very important. It was horrible under Obama because he wanted to give more people entitlements and keep them out of the workforce. This way, the government can control them more. In December, the story continues, the nation's civilian non-institutionalized population, consisting of people aged 16 or older who were not in the military or an institution, reached 258,888,000. Of those, 240,000 participated in the labor force by either holding a job or actively seeking one. The 163,240,000 who participated in the labor force equaled 63.1%. Of that non-civilian, of that civilian non-institutionalized population, participation rate has showed little change since Trump took office. The highest it's ever been is 67.3% in the year 2000. Among the major worker groups in December, the unemployment rates for adult men, 3.6%, blacks, 6.6%, increased in December. The jobless rates for adult women, 3.5%, and teenagers, 12.5%, whites, 3.4%, Asians, 3.3%, Hispanics, 4.4%, showed little or no change over the month. Average hourly earnings for all employees in private non-farm payrolls rose 11 cents to $27.48 over the year. Average hourly earnings have increased by 84 cents or 3.2%. I mean, think about what I'm saying here. More Americans working than ever. More people back in the labor participation number or in that pool to find a job. The amount of money you either make per hour or by salary has increased over the 2 years of Trump. And the media reported this story as the unemployment rate went up, because that's the only negative they could find. Think about that. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. When we come back, Kayleigh McEnany from the GOP and your phone calls on the weekend. Stay right here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride. A few days ago, I talked to Kayleigh McEnany from the GOP about all things going on. Rashida Tlaib hadn't said the MF, or it wasn't released yet that she had said that. So we don't go there, but we go everywhere else. Kayleigh, I appreciate you. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Hey, Happy New Year. How's it starting out for you?
Happy New Year. It's a great start. A wonderful new year. I'm not going to let Nancy Pelosi taking the gavel ruin it.
Well, that's exactly where we want to go first. But let me just ask you about the hypocrisy of Nancy Pelosi at all, if you don't mind off the top here. She goes to Hawaii, and she's enjoying, you know, a couple of weeks away from it all as the president's still at the White House, didn't go to Mar-a-Lago, and he's just working as hard as he can to try to get some sort of a deal, some sort of a government back up and running deal that also includes border security. I mean, do you think the American people, Kayleigh, understand the hypocrisy in her going and doing that as the entirety of the left try to complain that our president wanted to go home for a couple of days?
Oh, I think they do. And look, the president was going to be criticized either way. If he stays at the White House, if he's cooped up and sending out tweets and just all the ridiculous things CNN and others will say, and they did say, and then if he was to go down to Mar-a-Lago, obviously, they would have criticized him for that. But noticeably absent was the criticism of Nancy Pelosi in Hawaii, doing the hula and whatever else he does down there while we're trying to get the government back up and running and secure our border. So it was a contrast, but one lost upon the media.
It's Kayleigh McEnany from the GOP. Go follow her at KayleighMcEnany on Twitter. Just a great follow and great young brain on our side of the block here. When it comes to hypocrisy, I got to throw this one out at you. The president goes and visits the troops in Iraq and does exactly the same thing President Obama did when he visited troops either in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And the entirety of the left in this country wanted to say he was violating some sort of uniform code or he broke the law. And of course, the Air Force had to come out and say, no, nothing wrong happened here. This is quite okay. When Obama did it, he was praised. Look how great he is. Look, he's playing basketball with him and signing pictures and signing hats. When Trump does it, he's a bad guy. Again, the American people see through this, don't they?
They do see through it. And you're right. It was unfortunate, the kind of criticism he and the troops got. It was not just President Trump. It was the troops, too. That were criticized by the media, because it's anything they can do to go after Trump. That's the name of the game. Obama did the same thing. You're exactly right. As it turns out, no military rules were violated. These were everyday, hardworking men and women, the heroes of our country, who had independently brought MAGA gear with them. How cool is that? You can't bring many possessions overseas, but they brought their MAGA gear and wanted it signed, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and again, it was just sort of a microcosm of how extremely hypocritical the left has been, has always been, and certainly is. It's Kayleigh McEnany from the GOP. So Nancy Pelosi gets the gavel back. Even her own party wasn't very happy about it. She had to make some sort of a deal to make it happen. She says that impeachment isn't off the table, got to be a ton of subpoenas, all sorts of investigations. What happens now as we go forward with the House of Representatives in her hands again, and then there is a very radical wing now, including Ilhan Omar, including Ocasio-Cortez, on the left now in the House? How badly can they screw things up? I mean, can they really muck up the process to where the president can't do much?
Yes, that's exactly what they will do. They have shown that they're not looking to legislate. They're looking to investigate. They're setting up investigations. They already have something like 76 or 80 Trump targets. I think I read in Axios. Yeah, it's incredible. And one source, a high-ranking Democratic source, said, hey, we're loading a subpoena cannon. That's what they're doing. And not only that, you look and there's already been articles of impeachment filed on the floor. That literally just happened. So all of the congressmen and women who are saying, hey, we're not going to impeach. Well, in fact, they are. And good for Jim Jordan for calling out Congressman Sherman, saying they couldn't help themselves. You know, he's filing articles of impeachment as Representative Jordan sent that tweet.
And what the deal is, they know that they can't convict him because the Senate would never even take it up. Is this just so they can say, aha, we got one because Bill Clinton was impeached? I mean, what do you think the theory is behind this? Just to make him lose in 2020?
I think that's it. You know, every single Democrat is trying to move farther left than the Democrat beside them, be more radical, cater to that absolutely out of touch left wing base. That's the name of the game. So that's why they're doing this, even though it will backfire. Some of their base, the hardcore branch, demands impeachment. Tom Steyer, the big mega donor, funded millions of dollars to support an impeachment proceeding and support candidates who would support impeachment. So this is a political calculation for their personal future, even though I think it will backfire party-wide going forward with the American people come 2020.
Well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. There are no grounds whatsoever for impeachment talk, even much less filing the articles of impeachment. While we're talking about, things changing big time, Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, who's either from Detroit or he's from Massachusetts or he's from Utah, depending on what politically is more expedient for him, he took Donald Trump's money in 2012, gladly did a big speech with him. Then in 2016, tried to stop Trump from being elected by doing this disgusting attack speech, which was just completely outlandish. After Trump was elected, he, of course, sat down, broke bread, shook hands, smiled a lot because he thought he'd be the Secretary of State. That didn't work out. So now he's attacking Trump again. I believe the president also supported him just recently in his run to be the next senator out of Utah. Kayleigh, can you explain to me what the heck is going on in this guy's head? I mean, is he doing this, in your opinion, because he might run and primary the president in 2020? Is he doing this to say the president is not going to have an easy ride in the Senate because I'm going to side with the Democrats? Do you have an opinion as to why he's doing this?
Well, Mitt Romney's not going to run in 2020. He's already said that. No one, that would include Mitt Romney, would have very much luck in 2020 against the president with an 89% approval rating among his party,
right,
the highest of any president in modern history, with one notable exception during 9/11.
Right.
So no one's going to have luck with that. Why he's doing this, I'll leave that to him. But what I will say and what the chairwoman has said is, hey, every single Republican needs to support this president. We are not a party without voters. Our voters comprise us, and they've sent an unmistakable message. They want the Trump agenda moving forward. They want us to support the president. And it's time for all senators to honor their constituents in serving this president, this administration, and pushing forward the agenda of the American people.
From the GOP, it's Kayleigh McEnany. That's very well said. The problem I have with Mitt Romney is that he it almost looks like he's going to try to take John McCain's place. Whereas McCain ran and said, I'm gonna repeal Obamacare. Then when he had the opportunity, he was the one vote that made sure it didn't get repealed. And to that end, let me go back to what you said earlier. The articles of impeachment have already been brought up on the floor of the House of Representatives. The Democrats are doing exactly what they said they would do to their voters, even if it was quietly. I know that generally speaking, they kept saying, stop saying impeach. But they were going to do that, and day one they do it. The Republicans on the other side seem to be weak-kneed when it comes to building the wall. They had every opportunity because they had both houses in the presidency. When it comes to getting rid of Obamacare, when it comes to, I mean, name it, they had the opportunity and they squandered it. Why is it, do you think, that Democrats are so much better at doing exactly what they said they would do and always circling the wagons?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. You know, they do tend to stay unified as a group, although I think it's easy to say that because they were in the minority for so long. And now that they're just now retaking the gavel, Nancy Pelosi, I think we're going to see some of their divisions a little deeper and a little more explored, as you have the Ocasio-Cortez crazy wing that is like literally saying now we're not going to vote on the rules so that Congress can open, but we will vote on Pelosi. And you're already seeing them kind of make their mark. So I think you're going to see those divisions a little more. I think on our side of the aisle, we have by and large been unified with very few exceptions. And unfortunately, with such a narrow majority in the Senate, those exceptions were felt quite painfully when we were one vote shy of passing Obamacare repeal and replace. We needed 60 votes for a lot of these measures. And we just didn't have it. And if we lost one senator, it seemed like we weren't united, but we ignore the fact that, you know, all 50 other senators were able to unite, or 49 others.
Right. I talked to Ted Cruz about the whole wall thing. He said through reconciliation it could have been done 2 years ago, but for some reason the leadership, Mitch McConnell in the Senate, wasn't listening. They could have done it with 50 votes plus Mike Pence. So, again, I mean, I think the Democrats would have. They would have shoved it down their throats, or our throats, just like Obamacare was in the dark of night on Christmas Eve, making just secret deals with Louisiana and secret deals with Nebraska and secret deals with Bart Stupak in Michigan. Obama got it done because that's what the Democrats seem to do. I hope that we'll get some wherewithal and we'll get some fortitude, and the Republicans and the right can actually, you know, circle the wagons around this president and not let the Ocasio-Cortezes of the world start eating away at what it is that the Senate still can do. Talking about Ocasio-Cortez, she brings up this Green New Deal where they want reparations and punishment if you use too much electricity. This whole thing is nuts. Is this kind of what you expected, something so completely off the reservation, radical, from people like her, people who said, we are the young ones, we're the new ones, and although we don't know anything about anything, we're going to push as hard as we can for this crazy, outlandish agenda?
Yes, definitely what I expected. And what this means would be more onerous taxation of the American people, more regulation of the American people, and in return, what do you get? Nothing. You're not going to get a social program in return or some social benefit. What you get in return is America, you know, bringing down their carbon footprint while China is cranking up their factories, having a booming economy. And there's no overall effect on so-called climate change. And I'm setting aside the whole argument right now, whether it's man-made or not. But without a global deal, let's even assume it is man-made, you're not going to have any sort of indelible impression on the climate without a bunch of countries united. So for the United States to foot the bill for some pipe dream of Ocasio-Cortez, it's just not something that's a reality. Fortunately, we have the Senate and the presidency, and we'll make sure it doesn't pass.
Well, it's just as dumb as the Paris Accord, but like 10 times worse. The Paris Accord, as you just very eloquently said, China could do anything it wanted for 30 years. We immediately had to change everything that we do. It doesn't make any sense. It basically is a global punishment for our success. And people like Ocasio-Cortez, New York, between you and me, Kelly, I'm going to let you go in a second, but shouldn't New York apologize? I mean, shouldn't they apologize for Ocasio-Cortez? What the heck were they thinking?
I think so. And, you know, as a base minimum, you should be electing someone who knows that there are three branches of government and can name them out loud. That should just be a baseline. But unfortunately, they're stuck with her.
You know what, Kaylee, you're absolutely right. I think that in a couple of years, though, they're going to realize the mistake they made. Kaylee McEnany from the GOP. Follow her over at Twitter, at Kaylee McEnany. Thanks a million. Happy New Year. Talk again very soon. We appreciate Kaylee taking the time. It's always good to hear from the GOP directly. Interesting comments on Mitt Romney. Interesting comments on the incoming House of Representatives. Your thoughts when we come back. It's 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay here. All right, great to have you. It's the Weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. Definitely want to hear from you. A lot of people have been holding for a long time. It's going to be Rudy in San Antonio. Rudy, what's up?
Hey, Pete.
Rudy?
Hey, brother, what's happening?
What's going on, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, man. I tried to
thank you.
You must have been real busy.
We've been awfully busy, my friend. What's happening? Talk to me.
Oh, not much. Hey, on this border wall, you know, I think Trump wanted, what, $5 billion with a B? Am I correct?
Right, right.
And I think it was earlier in the year you said something about people that are on welfare coming up this way, the illegals, I mean, not just Mexicans, you know, anybody coming up here, you know, getting
right.
entitlements and stuff. I think you said they get something like $36,000 a year or something like that.
Well, I think that if you break it down, it's about $150 billion a year. Some would say $170-something billion a year. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Why don't they look at that and see how much money we're spending to support these people who are doing nothing?
Well, who should look at it? The Democrats know it, but they're never going to talk about it. And
exactly.
If you do talk about it, then you're a racist, and you don't want to help the children. They've got their talking points down. But you're right. The right, the Republicans, the president, should be talking about that every day.
They should be. I mean, because, you know, we're out there supporting these people. That's coming out of my check, your taxes.
It is.
Everybody who works, that's their tax money going out there. Why ain't we asked about, can we take some of your tax money and give it to, no. You get a lot of people up to say no.
There's no way they'd say okay to that.
Exactly. See, but people are so blind, I don't know what's wrong with them. They're just like Superman, can't see through lead. They can't see it either. You know what I'm saying, Joe?
I think you're absolutely right. And again, it's our side's fault. It's not the fault of the Democrats. The Democrats know these numbers, but they're hiding them, and if you dare bring them up, then you don't care about the people. They stick very closely to exactly what their agenda is, and they circle the wagons every time. Our side, for some reason, needs the Democrats to say, okay, you are a nice person. Screw that. I don't need the Democrats to tell me I'm nice. I need the Democrats to do something to help out this country and to look out for, you know, for the needs of people like you and me.
Exactly. We need that wall, Joe, because like you said earlier, you know, there's going to be a lot of unwanted people coming in here, some bad, bad people. What if somebody comes in here with germ warfare or something like that? All they need is just a little vial dropped someplace in the mall, and that stuff spreads like wildfire.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's happening a lot. Rudy, I appreciate you. Happy New Year. That's happening a lot. You've got a lot of people coming here that aren't necessarily Hispanic or Latin, who aren't from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. A lot of people who aren't from Mexico. Now, there are plenty of people coming from those places as well. But you've got factions of really, really bad people from parts of the world that want to take down our democracy who are coming in. And the left is complicit. If something happens, with every drunk driving accident that kills an American by an illegal alien, that's on the Democrats, although we're not doing a good job of putting it on them. With every Kate Steinle, that's on the Democrats. But for some reason, we give them a pass. With every, you know, Islamic jihadist idiot that wants to come in and start trouble and shoot up a cartoon contest in the Dallas area, that's on the Democrats. But they don't take credit. When it comes to the drunk driving, they talk about how alcohol is too prevalent. When it comes to Kate Steinle, well, it's obviously the handgun should not have been available. When it comes to the shooting up of this cartoon contest for Muhammad in the Dallas area, well, you shouldn't have access to that kind of weaponry. They always get away with not focusing on the bad guy, with not focusing on the bad intention, with not focusing on how they got here. You know, with every young woman killed and thrown in a field in Iowa, the Democrats should take the blame. It's on them. Yet somehow they weasel out of it. Yes, they've got cover from Hollywood. They've got cover from big music. They've got cover from the legacy media. But we have loud voices. And what I hate is when I see somebody who's on the conservative side or who believes in traditional American values and borders and legal in immigration, I hate seeing them bend over backwards, kowtow, and act stupidly. I don't understand why anybody would be against a big, beautiful wall to protect our country. It's very strange. Let me go back at it and say hello to line three. It's Charles in Spokane. Charles, what's up?
Well, hi, Joe. By the way, the music while on hold sure beats the ads. But
awesome.
Anyway,
good.
Did I understand you correctly to say that you think the military can't build anything?
I didn't say anything. I said the military isn't trained to build things. The military is trained to win wars.
Well, I would agree with you in general, but
yeah.
Yeah, they also do build things. You have the CBs, and that's their whole purpose. And, of course, you know, I know it's kind of ancient, you know, talking about siege works and things like that. But
yeah,
it seems to me that that would be that they would be fully capable because they'd have all the equipment, and I'm sure they have the expertise within their ranks to design something. And a wall really isn't that complicated, you know.
Well, I hear you. The Army Corps of Engineers falls under the DOD. They certainly could design it. What I'm saying is, I'm a talk show host. I'm a guy who's driven a truck and made pizzas for a living. If you said, hey, your job today isn't to do what you know how to do, it's to go build this wall, and here's how the wall's got to be built, I wouldn't know how to do it. And I don't want them. I want the military to be trained to win wars. That makes me feel good. I don't want to hear that the military is there's going to be wall building training. I think that's up to people who actually build walls.
The CBs do that though.
They build walls. What is the CB? I don't know what that is.
Well, that's in the Navy. It's a they're a construction unit, for lack of a better. I wasn't in the Navy, but I do know
right.
the CBs. And their whole purpose was to build airstrips, I suppose seawalls and things like that. They're quite active, and their main purpose is construction, actually.
Well, I wouldn't by any means say that we couldn't train them to, but again, I want my military to be focused on winning wars.
They're already trained.
They're not. They aren't trained to build walls. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I think that you make very important points, Charles. We're not going to agree. I want my military to win wars. I don't think that's asking much. Have builders build walls. Joe Pags, coming back. Stay here.
Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the Blaze Radio Network. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. A quick note about the CBs. It's SEABEES. The CBs, I'm told, are about the equivalent of the Army Corps of Engineers. They're builders in the Navy. I don't want our military taking off the job of training to fight and win wars to build a wall on the border of the United States. I don't want that to happen. The military, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, the National, the Coast Guard, they are not the National Guard. That's the military. Their job is to win wars and defend freedom and liberty around the globe. That's what it is. Although they're based here and they're trained here, the job is elsewhere. Now, if you want to talk about the National Guard guarding the nation at the border, I'm with you. If you want to talk about having the Army Corps of Engineers design a wall and then hire construction workers and general contractors to build the wall, I'm listening. And I said, look, I'm not an expert on the CBs. Had some guy write me, he said, profanity-laced thing that I shouldn't be on the radio because I don't know enough about World War II. What? A, I know a lot about World War II and I'm learning all the time. I'm actually still studying World War I, the very complicated conflicts, which actually 1 and 2 were basically the same war that never really ended. But then we just called it something different when it picked back up in earnest. But I'm learning every day. If you have ever heard me come on my show, hey, welcome to the program, The Weekend with Joe Pags, and I know everything about everything and I can't learn. Well, you didn't hear me say it because that's not something that I live by. I learn every day. So you want to write me an email about how I should have known something, I'll listen to you. And perhaps I should have known more about the CBs, but never pretended to be an expert on the Navy, never pretended to be an expert on the military, but I am an expert on how I feel about what our military should be doing. And I feel our military should be working its ass off to train as hard as it can, these brave men and women, to win wars, not build walls. Okay? And again, some people listen and they're waiting for a reason to say, I knew I didn't like this guy and here's why. But the vast majority of you do like what you hear, and I appreciate you. Happy New Year. All right, Sheriff Mark Lamb has become a friend. He is the sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona. Pinal County is about 50 or 60 miles from the border. There is an Indian reservation between Pinal County and the border of Mexico. In fact, that Indian reservation stretches over the border and is both in Mexico and in the United States, in Arizona. He deals with illegal immigration all the time. We'll talk about the caravan, the wall. We'll talk about a seven-year-old dying after her father took her 1,500 miles and somehow the Border Patrol was blamed by the left. We'll talk about a new program on A&E that actually started this past Thursday called 60 Days In. I urge you to go and watch it. It's about inmates going into prison or into jail in Pinal County. And many people don't realize this, but the sheriff is also the overseer of the jail in these counties. So I got with him. He was in New York City. He was in the big city getting ready to do an appearance on Live PD. And to talk about 60 Days In, it's Sheriff Mark Lynn. Sheriff, how are you? Good to see you.
Doing great, Joe. How you doing?
I'm living the dream. You know that. It's a new year. Happy New Year to you and your wife, everybody else involved. We appreciate you taking some time today. What are you doing in New York?
We're here for the premiere of 60 Days In. New show coming out on A&E about that they filmed in our jail.
Okay. Is that tonight?
That's tomorrow night. It's coming out tomorrow night.
All right. So, and also tomorrow night, are you going to be on Live PD?
I will. I'll be one of the hosts tomorrow night. They're doing a two-hour episode right before the premiere of 60 Days In.
Okay. Well, cool. Let's talk more about that in a minute. In the meantime, while I have you, though, let's talk about the border, if you don't mind. I took a week off and didn't pay much attention to anything, but I know that the border situation isn't solved. We had Andrew Cuomo not far from where you are right now in New York talking about how we have to build bridges and not walls and no border wall with a very thick New York accent. When you hear that kind of rhetoric, knowing what you deal with every day, do you just blow that off, Mark? Or do you think to yourself, he really doesn't know what he's talking about or he's playing politics?
Both. You know, a lot of times we think a lot of these people don't know what they're talking about because they haven't been out here and they really haven't spent the time to understand what the problem is that we're facing.
Right.
And a lot of times we just have to blow it off because we have a job to do. We can't get focused and tied up in that. That's the politics of it.
Yeah.
We have to still go out and protect our communities. And that's truly what we focus on as sheriffs and as law enforcement.
But what are we seeing on the border? And again, Sheriff Mark Lamp in Pinal County, Arizona. 60 Days In is going to be happening from his county jail soon. It starts tomorrow. We'll talk about that. Also, you've seen his department and him on Live PD. What's the status? We don't hear much about the caravan now. Now we're hearing about how national parks are closed because Trump is no good or something. What's going on the border?
You know, that's the thing is that just it's almost sad that they turn these things into political issues. This is something we're still dealing with. We're every day we go out into our county and we're 60 miles off the border. We still deal with illegals coming into our county and our country. So we sent our aviation. I think last month we probably had well over 100 apprehensions with our aviation unit.
Wow.
So it's something that we deal with on a daily basis. The media, they pick and choose what they want to follow for a while. But it's definitely something we're still dealing with.
It's Sheriff Mark Lamb, of course, Pinal County, Arizona. It's a little echoey. He's standing, is this a lobby somewhere in New York City?
The old Woolworth building in New York City.
Well, whatever it takes, we appreciate your help. When it comes to the border, let's talk about law enforcement specifically. And let's not even talk about the border. Let's say that I've got a seven-year-old daughter, and I decided, Mark, to go from California to the middle of Kansas and walk with my daughter in all the rain and all the wind and all the snow up high mountains and down to low valleys and barely fed her anything, and at the end of it she died. Am I in trouble or not?
You would definitely have some questions to answer, and that's one of the things that I've said all along is, you know, don't blame law enforcement. We should be talking about the poor parenting, the decision to bring a child into a dangerous situation like that.
And that's why I asked it like that, because as you know, Pelosi and Schumer and down the line have all said Border Patrol basically is killing kids. And that's not the case at all, is it?
We wouldn't, obviously, any parent who tried to do that, even in this country, across the country, in the bad weather, through bad neighborhoods.
With no food,
no phone, no nothing. That would be poor parenting. And that would be something we should be looking at. And so, yes, you would be right in saying that I don't know that, you know, what charges you would face, but it definitely would be an example of poor parenting.
I would guess at least child endangerment. You could probably add a whole lot more on that. It's Mark Lamb. He's the sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona. Let me ask you this. When your agency does come in contact with those who are here illegally, I know you're running into children. What is the standard operating procedure? You take the kid, you get him medically checked out. What do you do?
You know, fortunately in our county where we're at logistically, most of what we deal with are adults.
Okay.
And predominantly men, because it's about a 6-day hike from the border through through the desert to get to our county.
Right.
Every now and then we'll catch some women and children in the vehicles. And what we do is if there's no crime that's occurred that we can charge them with, then we turn them over to Border Patrol
right.
for ICE. If there has been a crime that has occurred, let's say, for example, a backpacker comes across and he's got a 30-pound backpack of marijuana on him, well, guess what? He's going to get charged. And if he's in our county, he's going to get charged with possession of marijuana.
Okay.
Now, he's going to have to go to my jail and he's going to face those charges. And when he's done, I'm going to turn him over to Border Patrol. Well, in that particular case, I would turn him over to ICE, and then ICE would do what they're going to do.
Would it behoove us as a country and as a government specifically to stop the politics and just fix the problem? Isn't that what Absolutely. You kind of want?
And that's what we've said all along. As law enforcement, we're in a tough predicament because we're dealing with something that's very sensitive, and we're dealing with it. We have to enforce the law.
Yeah.
We have to protect our country and our communities. We have hearts. You know, we see the humanity of it, and we want people to come and make a better life for themselves. But at the same time, we're enforcing the law. So really what we've got to do is take the politics out of it, and we've got to hold our congressmen and our senators' feet to the fire and get them to give us some common sense results. That's what we need from law enforcement standpoint.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I know how hard you work out there, and I know what a compassionate guy you are. You know, it's hard to be compassionate and at the same time look at somebody who just made a ridiculous decision, whereas they could have gone to a border, an actual entry in El Paso, in Tijuana. I mean, just down the line, there are gates and fences and open doors and bridges everywhere. But for some reason, they insist on doing it illegally. Mark, can we do a better job as a country? Not that it's really our responsibility, but can we do a better job as a country to tell the people in Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador, and so on, Guatemala, that if you do it the right way, we're a welcoming country. Stop doing it the wrong way.
You know, one of the unfortunate things that you learn is you can tell people till you're blue in the face sometimes. People still just don't do it right. And we do a good job of getting that word out there, but then they still come here and people try to take advantage of the situation, or they try to circumvent it or speed up the process, the time, because it does. It takes time. And so those things are what get people into trouble, and then they start looking at crossing illegally. Yeah, I mean, we could probably always do a little bit better job getting the word out, but at the same time, we are, you know, Border Patrol, our federal partners, are getting the word out. They are sending that message saying, this is the right process, this is the process you have to follow if you want to potentially come into this country.
Bye. Yeah, it's Sheriff Mark Lamb, Pinal County, Arizona. I appreciate the time. Tell us about 60 Days In. I saw the first season. This season, your county jail is there. I was stunned by who did and who didn't know. How many people knew that these people were planted there to gather information and to do this show?
Only probably about 5 or 6 people, just enough people to get them into our facility and to be able to protect them while they were in there. The inmates didn't know. The employees didn't know. I mean, obviously, there were some employees that probably had a pretty good hunch of what was going on.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't know. And it's a great season. Honestly, it showcases our jail for good or bad. We learned a lot. We've been able to implement a lot of changes because of that. And the key thing was, the reason I wanted to do it is because it gives you an inside look at your jail, and it at no cost to the taxpayer.
Yeah, and that's so smart. How good is that? You learned all that information, didn't cost a dime. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And it was something that, you know, there was a risk to it. But as you know, the good things in life, there's a risk to the best rewards.
Yeah. How many people were put in?
We had 7 total people come in.
And how does it work? They go in and they've got a backstory, because the other inmates are going to say, what were you convicted of? And they have to have the story. And what if somebody's from that area and knows information? Now, I haven't seen your season yet, but I mean, these inmates want to know who you are. Are you a snitch? Are you a cop? Are you a somebody? They immediately pounce on the new guy, right?
Oh, they check your paperwork immediately, and you'll see that this season. They'll check your paperwork immediately. And we had to create backstories, and the problem was, like you said, people don't listen, so it's hard to try to keep our people to do. We tell them what the backstory is, and they still have trouble doing it. But in the end, it was a great season. It gets a little dicey in the end, so hopefully everybody watches. It's a good one.
Yeah, we hope that people will. It's on A&E. What time is it on tomorrow night, do you know?
So I think East Coast time, I think it's 10. So I think we'll be on 8 to 10 on live PD, and then I think 10 o'clock is when it comes on 60 days in.
And,
so,
and those are
but make sure, check with your local provider to make sure.
Yeah, and that's Eastern time, so make sure that you adjust it for your time. It's Sheriff, yes. Sheriff Mark Lamb. Live PD, I mean, that kind of puts you on the map. You're going to be back on set tomorrow night. We learned so much about law enforcement from that, and I think that we see a couple of things, and keep in mind that I'm a big law enforcement a supporter, so I probably am a little bit biased that way, but we see how hard the job is. We see how immediately some people react just because there's a person with a badge. We see the kind of danger they're in, but we also see the lighter side of stuff. All in all, live PD, it's a beneficial show, right?
Absolutely. And you know what I like about 60 Days In is live PD showcases, especially for us sheriffs, it showcases the roadside.
Yeah.
But a lot of people forget that we also control the jails in our counties. And so that's a whole nother dynamic. And oftentimes it's the most time consuming and liability piece of our job. And so I'm excited because people have seen what I do as a sheriff on the road. Now they're going to be able to see that and be able to remind themselves that as sheriffs, we're responsible for these big, huge detention facilities as well. So make I think it's going to be good.
Make sure you check out 60 Days In tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Eastern. One last question. I've never been to jail, never been to prison. So my perception is you go to jail or prison, you get your ass kicked every day. Somebody, sexually assaults you. How is it that, because again, it can't be as bad as I think it is. Maybe it is. But how is it that you possibly can protect somebody who's innocent of any crime in the midst of people, some of them, who might not be looking at the outside for a very long time?
Well, let me tell you, that was a nerve-wracking 60 days, that's for sure.
I'll bet.
The sheriff, we worried a lot about their safety. I mean, every day we checked on them. If anything came up, we monitored the chatter in there. We monitored just what was going on so closely because there's no way to protect them. If something goes off, it's going to take us a few minutes to get to them. So this was something we were very worried about, but fortunately it all worked out. And it worked out great for us too. We learned a lot.
It's an amazing experiment, and it's also amazing TV. It's Sheriff Mark Lamb, 60 Days In starts tomorrow night. He'll also be on set on Live PD. Sheriff, thanks for your friendship. Happy New Year, and let's talk again soon.
Thanks, Joe. Happy New Year.
All right. Back. We always appreciate the sheriff coming on, and it really is great information. I saw that show. I saw the premiere of it, and the bottom line is it's scary as hell, man. It's scary. I don't know what these people are thinking that they would go in. I wonder if you would do that. 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay right here. Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the time. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Make sure you stop by there. Love to hear from you. Even if you want to complain about my knowledge or lack thereof of CBs. Again, Army Corps of Engineers, I believe, can design a great wall. I believe the CBs, if that's the naval equivalent of the Army Corps of Engineers, can design a great wall. Might even be able to build a great wall. It's not the job. The job is to win wars. The job is to construct buildings and walls and landing strips and everything else for the purposes of winning wars. I don't know why we're having a diversity of opinion here. You want us to take the American military away from whatever it's doing around the globe and put it on the border and have them build a wall? I don't understand the mentality. I want the wall built. I want it built yesterday. I want it built 2 years ago or 10 years ago. I want it done right. I want it designed right. And I want really good qualified builders in the private sector to get that money, our taxpayer dollars, to build the wall. I don't want it. Listen, you can disagree with me, and that's cool. I want you to. I love when people disagree. But saying that you must take the military, whether CBs or Corps of Engineers or whomever, and make them build the wall takes away from the job at hand. That's not their job. Let me go back at it. Let me say hello to line four. Sarah, I don't have a ton of time, only about a minute. Make it happen. Hello?
Hello?
Sarah, I'm sorry. I've only got about a minute. You've got a comment on this. Go ahead.
I've got a question. Yeah, I agree with you about the wall. But the question I have is, if somebody out there listening could get a hold of somebody in the military, a friend of mine has a friend is starving. So that several of the men over in Iraq are starving, and they're so undernourished that they can't do their job.
The men in Iraq are starving?
Yes.
Okay, I live in San Antonio, which is Military City, USA. I'll go up the line and I'll see if I can find somebody to talk about that. I had not heard that, but I appreciate the information. I'll look into it. It is 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. You keep it right here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. Glad to have you along for the ride. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags, also on the Blaze Radio Network. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots we want to get to. As promised, Cabot Phillips, he's the media director over at CampusReform.org. It's a group of great journalists that get the job done every day. We love talking to Campus Reform to hear about nuttiness on college campuses. As much as it irks me to hear about it, education and knowledge are very powerful, and that's why we have them on. Plus, they do just an absolutely great job. Cabot, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. It's going to be a good one.
It is going to be a good one. It's going to be an interesting one. By the way, go to campusreform.org every single day. Leadership Institutes does an incredible job. They've got legacy media on the run when it comes to real journalism. And a guy like Cabot, you've got to see his videos. He goes out, he puts a microphone in the faces of people, non-confrontational, asks some very simple questions you feel very strongly about, fill in the blank topic, tell me why, and invariably, most of them can't. I love it every single time. I'm looking for a great 2019 on that end too, Cabot.
Absolutely. We have a new video coming out tomorrow, actually. I can give you a sneak peek, tell you what it's about. We're going to be talking about Nancy Pelosi. I went out and asked a bunch of liberal students in D.C. how they felt about Nancy Pelosi taking over as speaker. And Nancy's not going to like this one. Even the crazy liberal students were all saying, Nancy, it's time to go.
Yeah.
You're almost 80 years old. You've been here forever. And I think there's one thing Democrats and Republicans many times can agree on is that Nancy Pelosi needs to leave D.C. She is the swamp incarnate when it comes to the left. And so new video coming out tomorrow morning, I think a lot of people are going to like.
I cannot wait. And we'll make sure that we retweet it and we send it out there and we promote it as well. I've got to that end. You had the new House sworn in today, the Senate as well. But the House gets sworn in today. Ilhan Omar is swearing on Thomas Jefferson's a Quran, which there's a completely different story on that we'll talk about next time, because had she known why he had the Quran, she would not be using it to be sworn in. Then you've got Ocasio-Cortez, who's pushing this Green New Deal. You've got the young, up-and-coming, completely without knowledge people like Ocasio-Cortez, who are pushing for Nancy Pelosi not to be the leader. They're pushing for impeachment already. This is going to be a wild couple of years, isn't it?
It absolutely is. The thing about the New Deal, this Green New Deal, it's going to be the new thing that Democrats are pushing. Many of them have no idea what it's about. But the second you throw green in any sort of legislation, many on the left feel this need. I have to go along with it. Well, of course. And so I think that this is going to be the new push where a lot of young people feel like I have to go along with the Green Deal because I care about the environment, not realizing what it would actually do to gas prices, energy prices. And it sounds really nice to say, oh, we're going to transition over to sustainable energy by this date.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize that the best way of doing that is usually a market, allowing the market to determine when is the best time and place to do that, not saying the government should mandate this is what your energy should look like, how it should be run. I think those people should also look at what's going on in France right now. And look at some of what happened there when Macron thought that he could come in and pass this new sweeping economic regulation with regards to energy. So I do think it's going to be a fight. And hopefully there are enough reasonable people out there to clamp down and understand just how crazy this new deal is, this Green New Deal. And I think this is just the beginning of what we're going to see from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other freshman Congress members coming out and pushing this far left agenda and slowly trying to make it more and more mainstream.
Yeah, we're hearing about reparations. We're hearing about impeachment. We're hearing about subpoenas and investigations galore. I guess 76 investigations have already been planned or something. So the whole thing is nuts. It's Cabot Phillips, media director over at campusreform.org. Go there, campusreform.org, and read these great stories that these young journalists do. By the way, I do see a Green New Deal video from Cabot Phillips at some point, right?
We'll definitely be making
because nobody's going to have any clue what that is.
But they're all going to support it.
That's right. All right, let's talk about the second oldest women's college is accepting people who weren't born female. I mean, why do we have women's colleges then if anybody can go? Fill me in on this.
The University of Missouri, they're saying that you can come out now and all the applicants used to have to be female. You know, it's a women's college. Yeah. You know, nothing wrong with that if you want to go to a women's college.
Right.
But now they're opening up and saying it's no longer just if you're born female, but if you identify as female, and also if you're non-binary, don't have a gender, and just feel female, you can apply to our college. And this is what happens when we live in an age of relative truth. There is no truth anymore. It's all relative. It's your truth. Speak yeah. your truth. Live out your truth. And so now that truth comes in ignoring biology. I want to see how this university complies with Title IX.
Yeah.
What kind of Title IX regulations are they going to have to put up with now that they're going to be accepting biological males into the university just to appease this PC crowd?
Well, they've actually opened Pandora's box, haven't they? Because now I can go, obviously a big, strong, virile man. I know that you were thinking that. Can I go and say, hey, I'm going to go play on your softball team. I'm going to go play on your soccer team, even though, you know, I've got different bone structure, different muscularity, different voice, different hormones in my body, simply because I say I'm non-binary. I don't have a gender. You must let me in now.
I want to see Joe Pags on the women's powerlifting team there at this university. I think you'd be breaking some records.
But the box is open, though, right, Cabot? Yeah. I mean, they say non-binary. That means that you could quite literally go there and say, I'm not choosing a gender. You have to let me in.
I did a video on this at Campus Forum about a year and a half ago. I went to the University of Maryland, and I dressed as a guy, jeans, T-shirt, walked around with a clipboard and told people, I said, guys, I identify as a female. I want to play on the women's basketball team. Sign this petition to let me play on the women's basketball team. Just like that. Didn't have a wig.
Tell me nobody signed it. Tell me nobody.
49 out of 50 students that day signed my petition. I had a faculty member sign my petition. And really, truly, where is the line? We just saw that, you know, I think it was in Texas, a high school wrestler was a female, you know, jacked up on steroids, just won our second consecutive state title. It really is. It's the post truth era that we're living in right now.
And that's exactly right. The microcosm of this female in Texas who's taking steroids like crazy because one day she and mom had a conversation. Hey, do you feel like you're a boy? And she said, yeah, I think I do. And mom said, well, great. Let's load you full of steroids and hormones and make that so. I mean, at some point, especially higher learning. Okay, moms can be dumb. Dads, I'm a dad. I can be dumb. But if you're an institute or an institution of higher learning and you're getting paid a lot of money to educate people, how can you possibly turn your back on biology, yet I'm sure they offer biology in the school?
Yeah, it's the joy of intersectional feminism and intersectionality on the left to see now that it is now feminist to support men essentially dominating women in sports and to try and say this is feminism now. And I really do think that this is what happens when many people at these universities, they know science, they know biology, and they know truth, but they are intentionally ignoring it because they are so afraid of hurting people's feelings. There's nothing wrong. You know, I'm very libertarian on some issues where if you want to go live your life however you please, go do it. But when it starts to infringe on our academic institutions, when it starts to infringe on what we call truth, that's when I start to have a problem. And I think most Americans start to have a problem with it. And I do think it all stems from this fear of potentially hurting someone's feelings and saying, well, no, we're actually not going to let you into our women's university because you're not actually a woman. And that's where I think this is going.
Well, there's something to the fact that there are variable issues in our lives. There are fixed issues in our lives. I thought the fixed issues were done. This is like Taming of the Shrew, trying to convince somebody that the sky is blue. It's very strange. It's Cabot Phillips. You got to tell me exactly what a microaggression in medicine is because I am not smart enough to get it.
Well, here in Georgetown, right down the street, the university is worried that medical students there are experiencing microaggressions. Now, a microaggression, for those who don't know, is anytime someone insults you knowingly or unknowingly, just accidentally, they say things that are minor, but this university says these microaggressions can build up to be a macroaggression. So these are things that hurt your feelings. The university said this would be asking a medical student something like, hey, aren't you a little old to be in medical school? That's a microaggression because you're assuming someone's age. Or asking someone, is English your first language? Or where are you from? Normal conversation starters. These things are now microaggressions that are insulting. And so Georgetown is putting up a bias response team where if you feel a microaggression, you can report it to
a bias response team. It sounds like a SWAT team from the police station. What the heck?
I think it's a SWAT team, but instead of guns, they're armed with their PC police handbooks, and they're going to write you citations. And so the bias response team will help basically correct these microaggressions to keep people from being offended. And really, what it's doing is, rather than preparing adults for the real world and saying, hey, in the real world, someone might offend you, and you can just walk the other way, or you can tell them off, whatever. We're now telling people that the response to this should be to go seek out some bureaucrat and say, this is what this person said to me. Go get them.
Well, I want to use the examples that you brought up. Let's go through it. I'm 52 years old. If I showed up in medical school, somebody saying, aren't you a little old to start medical school? Or you're older than the other students in medical school. You're not assuming my age. You see my age. You know what my age is. Or if you started speaking to me and you had a strong Swedish accent, and I said, hey, is English your first language? Your answer probably would be no. Am I not allowed to be inquisitive in life anymore? Really?
You're only allowed to be inquisitive as long as there's not potential for offense. And the problem is there's always potential for offense in any conversation. And so we are essentially neutering people and their social abilities, their cognitive abilities to have conversations and be human beings. And again, what this does is incentivize people to seek out things that offend them. And when you give someone a gold star just for saying that someone committed a microaggression against them, guess what? Everyone's going to want a gold star. Everyone's going to go around saying they're offended. And this creates this habit-forming thing where people are afraid to talk to anyone that doesn't look like them or anyone that they haven't met before because they're afraid of offending them.
But why doesn't it matter that you and I are offended by this whole thing? Well, shouldn't that matter? I mean, we're offended. Yeah. I would guess, I'm going to take a gander here. I'm going to guess that the vast majority of those listening and watching right now are offended by that story and by what they're doing at Georgetown. So what the majority wants doesn't matter because they'll probably, what, classify us as white male Christians or something? Yeah.
There certainly is this hierarchy of oppression to where if you are up the social hierarchy.
Are we in there at all? We're not even in the hierarchy of oppression, are we?
We're at the very, very bottom. And again, this really is a thing where I think that many issues in society, your opinion is only as valid as the number of boxes that you can check on the left's identity politics scale. And I think that's what this is.
I haven't gotten my scale in the mail yet, so I haven't filled out any boxes, to be honest. Very quickly, if you can, what is ecofeminism? UMass Dartmouth is doing something. What is this?
There is a course on understanding ecofeminism, understanding the nature of oppression in nature. So how there is ecofeminism is this idea that we can learn about feminism, learn about culture and the toxic masculinity that happens in the environment, learn through nature. You can pay $1,200, take a 3-hour course on understanding feminism and understanding nature all in one.
$400 an hour to learn about ecofeminism. I mean, she's called Mother Nature. She's not a feminist. I mean, but are people paying the money? Does anybody go to that course? No, right?
Well, it seems like it would be supply and demand where the university wouldn't offer these courses unless they have people signing up for them.
Wow.
And I think a lot of students are taking it because they say, hey, there's a crazy class. I can just sign up for that and maybe get an easy A in there. We covered a course just this past year where a professor identified as ecosexual, where she was sexually attracted to the environment. And so she gave students extra credit to go down and have certain kinds of relations with trees and the creeks and oceans in the area.
Come on.
This was a real thing. Yep. Go to campusformed.org.
Go and get with a tree? Are you serious? Get with a tree.
Get with a tree. And actually, just this year, St. Mary's College in Maryland, another university, the professor said that if we begin to look at nature through an ecosexual lens, we might want to help preserve it more. And so she encouraged students to look at trees and nature as sexual beings and entities. And that might encourage people to take it more seriously in its preservation.
You're trying to make my head hurt. It's Cabot Phillips, a media director over at campusreform.org. Go there every day. Leadership Institutes does an incredible job. Cabot, you do an incredible job. Make sure you hit me up with the link to that video tomorrow. I can't wait to see it.
Will do. Thanks so much, Joe.
We appreciate Cabot Phillips and all the great folks over at Campus Reform. Go to campusreform.org and find out more about the great work they do. And I open that up every morning. I seriously do. Keep it right here on the Joe on the weekend with Joe Pag. Stay here. All right, great to have you. It is the weekend with Joe Pags. We've got time for some of your phone calls. Make sure you go and check out the website. By the way, I posted a quick thing on my feelings about the military and the border wall and why the military should not be used to build the border wall. Go and check it out. It's on my Facebook, facebook.com/Joe Talk Show. Or I posted the link also on Twitter. Just click on the link, go read it. You don't have to like me on Facebook or follow the page or even have a Facebook page to read it. It's open to the public. Everybody can see it, whether you're signed up or not. But again, it's very short, it's very sweet, it's very direct. The military has one job, to win wars. And the military, I'm learning, I know the Army Corps of Engineers, I always know that they're great at designing things and then hiring private businesses and contractors to build the things that they design. Of course, they build in the war theater or getting ready for war. And I'm learning more about the Seabees from the Navy. They do the same sort of thing. But there is no war declared on the border. There is no war to defend and build a wall for. Oh, I am definitely a war. It's an invasion. I don't disagree with you. And yes, I want a wall. But there are ways of declaring war and ways of just saying something's a war, and they're very different. I don't think we want a policy in this country where anybody can say, yeah, it's a war. I think you've got to go through the proper declaration, or else the next time we have a Democrat president and they want to declare war on, you know, parts of Texas because they're red, then I'll hear you. I don't want that. What I want is if there's a declaration of war and there's a war to be won, our military is second to none on planet Earth, and they will win the war. There is not a war declared on the border right now, so you've got to do it a different way through proper funding, through the proper channels. I know that you agree with me, because if Obama were in office right now and he's just saying something's a war and something isn't, you'd be disagreeing with him. So let's just go by the book. Let's fund this the right way. Let's put the pressure on the president who promised it and on the Congress who needs to fund it, and let's get it done. But taking the CBs or the Army Corps of Engineers or our military members away from the job of winning a war to go build a wall, I'm against. I don't know why that's hard to understand. Let me go back at it. Let me say hello and welcome to Bill is in New York. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Hey, Joe. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thanks, brother. Talk to me.
I served 11 years active duty in the Marine Corps.
Thank you.
Downsizing in 95. I was stationed in Yuma, Arizona. When it comes to the border wall, how come they don't charge tolls coming in from Mexico per head, per vehicle, per axle, based on a vehicle weight, the trucks that are bringing the product in? That would make it more competitive with the American products.
I think that'd be a very good thing to add to the USMCA, which is the new deal, the new NAFTA, if you will, that is getting us in a better leveraged position than Bill Clinton left us in, where we're $50 billion in the hole to Mexico. I don't know if that specifically is the answer, although I think it's a good idea. I like what the president is doing, and I like that I've talked to the administration about it. I like that they are actually saying, we're not going to let you beat us with import-export. If you want to have a deal with the biggest economy on Earth, which is us, you're going to have to make it more fair. I think they're working on it. Is that part of it? I don't know. It's not a horrible idea, but I don't think it is part of it.
Right. And concerning the Seabees, dealing hand-in-hand because Marine Corps falls under the Department of the Navy,
right?
They're overextended. The Army Corps of Engineers, the Seabees, they're all overextended because there's so many projects going on around the world that people don't realize they're in there, they're on the grounds. Like you said, they're doing airstrips, they're doing shipyards, whatever.
Right. And that's the job. I mean, they're
overextended. What are they going to do? Downsize again, and then more people are out of a job down the road.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Plus, what will you take them away from? I think that was a question I asked about a half an hour ago. What job are they doing right now that we're going to take them away from to go build a wall that we should be hiring private contractors to build?
Exactly.
All right, brother. I appreciate your service. I appreciate the phone call. Let me go back at it. It's Chuck in Reno. Chuck, make it fast for me. What's going on?
Hello. Well, I'm calling about Dinesh D'Souza.
Great.
And about you. Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, Dinesh is great. Good friend. What's up?
Yeah, okay, great. Well, I listened to you a week or so ago when you interviewed him. So I bought the movie and I looked at the movie. It's
great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it is.
That's the most incredible thing. It's the best education that most people can obtain in an hour and a half. I mean, it's just incredible. So I would.
Was I right about the filmmaking? Do you think, Chuck, when he showed himself standing where these horrific speeches were being given? It gave me the chills the way that he shot that.
Yeah, was that your point that gave you the chill? I mean, I think it was well done. It was well presented.
And, oh no! I mean, the whole movie was well done, and well presented. I learned a lot from it. But again, I mean, to take us back to those places. And show today they're desolate, they're dark, they're dank, they're just wretched ruins of a disgusting past, and then show when it was actually being filled by hate-filled people. It gave me a feeling of actually being there.
Yeah, it was remarkable. Anyway, all I would say is encourage you to talk as many people as you can into buying it, going to see it, doing whatever you can, because I know personally that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give away as many of his DVDs as I can afford.
Sounds good. Hey, Chuck, I'm going to let you go because your phone got really, really quiet, but I do appreciate you. Yeah, Dinesh does incredible work. I've learned an enormous amount from him. Listen, I appreciate you guys hanging out for the weekend. Glad to be back live on the weekend with Joe Pags. Make sure you go to joepags.com. Check out the Monday through Friday show. Hopefully it's where you are. If not, tell me where you are. We'll figure it out. For Martin, for Ryan, it's Pags. See you next week.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.